Talk to Dad.
Welcome to the Talk Dad podcast, episode 106. Got William here with me.
Hello.
And this will be a William and Dad podcast. How's it going, William?
Pretty good.
So summer is here. Did you know today is the summer, what do you call that?
Summer solstice?
Summer solstice, yeah. The longest day of the year.
Oh yeah, I forgot about that.
More sunlight today than any other day. It's the first day of summer.
I've been playing Animal Crossing New Leaf a lot lately, and that was what told me that today was the summer solstice.
Oh yeah. The summer solstice, meaning that it is June 21st. It feels like it's been summer for a while because it's been hot here and you guys are out of school.
Yeah,
but today is officially the first day of summer.
It doesn't feel like it's been summer for too long for me. Keep on having dreams that's the end of school. Like a lot of times I'll have dreams that I'm still in school, but now I'm having dreams that's the end of school just like over and over again.
Oh yeah? Like how does a dream about it being the end of school go?
Well, the last one was like, yeah, it's the end of school, and I like walked out in the rain, and I was like, whoa, this rain is making me older and transitioning me into high school, or I don't know, it was weird.
that is really weird.
I went onto the bus.
It was symbolic rain?
I went onto the bus, and I realized that I left my instrument, like, on the, in the front of the school, so I had to get off the bus and then go grab it in the rain, and I woke up, and I was like, oh, I gotta grab the instrument, and I was like, oh, yeah, it was a dream.
Yeah. Yeah, that happens to me a lot. Like, I'll have a dream, and there's some complication in the dream that I feel like is really important in the dream. And even when I wake up for a little while, I'm like, oh, I got to make sure to, oh, yeah, that was a dream.
Yeah, or, like, sometimes when I'm answering a question, I'll, like, continue answering it when I wake up. I'm going to be like, oh, wait, crap.
Yeah.
Like, I'll just say, like, one word.
So what's it like now that it's summer? You don't have to worry about homework. You don't have to get out of bed necessarily.
Oh, I've been sleeping a lot. I've been kind of like staying up really late and then regretting it and then ending up like waking up at like 10:30.
Yeah. Except this week, I think you do have to get up because mom's been taking you. You joined an orchestra, is that right?
Yeah, but this one's a full orchestra.
Yeah, tell me about that.
It's really fun. So there's like stringed instruments and like school band instruments. So that's kind of fun. There's even a pianist and harpists, I think.
Yeah, I think it's a harpist. That makes sense.
It's about the size
what
of like
else
a.
Would it be?
It's about the size of like a middle school orchestra just on its own.
Harp playing person just takes too long to say.
Maybe even slightly smaller, although I don't know. There's only one person.
Is it a city orchestra or what is it, like a youth orchestra?
Yeah, youth orchestra. It's like ages. It's like grades like 6th to 8th. If you count the grade that we like just came from.
Oh, okay. So kind of the same age as your middle school orchestra.
Yeah.
And you're playing viola. Does it have all the instruments, like all the stringed instruments and then some additional ones?
Yeah, although I don't think we have a bassist. But
is Henry doing this too?
Yes.
There's only one other person there that I know from 8th grade. She's also a violist, but
so they have like horns and stuff too?
Yeah. They don't have I don't think they have trumpets.
But they have trombones.
They have trombones, euphoniums, and that's all
the
brass.
Trombones and euphoniums.
Trombones, euphoniums. I think they also have, like, clarinets, I think.
French horns? They have French horns?
No.
No?
No.
The only brass there is
trombone. Henry, nobody can hear you on the podcast. Henry's sitting over on the sofa and answering questions, but he doesn't have a mic in front of him, so.
I think there might be oboes. Maybe I'm imagining that.
Oboes? Oboe seems like an instrument you could have in an orchestra.
I remember in 8th grade, while you're practicing orchestra, there'd always be a beginner oboist having private lessons, and they always sound really off-tune, so just be like this blaring oboe.
Yeah.
Off-tune oboe just like coming from there.
I always get confused about oboes and bassoons, like which sounds like what. I can never remember which one sounds like what. Like which one's, I don't know.
Or maybe it was a bassoon. I think it was an oboe, but it was they're just like very like loud, and then all of a sudden,
which like, one has a higher pitch, an oboe or a bassoon? An oboe does, right?
I don't know.
Seems like a bassoon would be a lower pitch.
Yeah, I'm not in band.
Anyway, but you are in an orchestra that has some band instruments in it.
Yeah.
So what are you doing in the orchestra? Are you like practicing songs and stuff?
Yep, it's three hours each.
Is there going to be a concert at the end of it?
Probably.
You know? Like, what kind of songs do you do?
One is a... They're pretty simple. I mean, not all of them are, but, like, on their own. But, like, you have to play it with the full orchestra. So we kind of sounded like a mess at first.
Yeah.
One is, like, based off of Mozart. One is based off of Lady Gaga's song, which I was actually pleasantly surprised about that one.
What Lady Gaga song is it?
Bad Romance, apparently. I don't really know the titles of.
Yeah, that's probably her most famous song.
Yeah.
Poker Face, I don't know.
Even though I don't really like that kind of music, that one was actually good as a full orchestra. And then a soundtrack from Howl's Moving Castle.
Oh, that's cool.
Apparently Howl's Moving Castle as a movie isn't very good. I've only read the book.
It's good. Well, let me say this. It's good if you've never read the book. If you have read the book, it's a little disappointing because it doesn't follow the book very well. And the story in the movie is not as good as the story in the book. But it's still a good movie. It's like a really good visual movie. And the like the animation's really good. The music's really good. I think even the acting's pretty good. But it's only bad if you kind of really like the book and you've read the book.
Yeah, I remember watching the Percy Jackson movie like when I was a lot younger and thinking that it was good, or at least okay. And then I read the Percy Jackson book and I was like, wow, that's way different.
Yeah.
Apparently, from what I've heard, they kind of tried to cram like the next four books into one movie, into the next movie.
I think the problem there, though, was that just wasn't a very good movie. Like, whether you read the book or not, it wasn't a very good movie.
They're all in their 20s and they're supposed to be 12. Yeah. Like, it's one thing to have, like, actors, they're in their 20s or playing high schoolers, but, like, these people are supposed to be 12.
Yeah, that can be an issue in movies and TV a lot. Like, sometimes, a couple of things. One, it seems like kids don't really act like kids a lot of times. Like, someone's supposed to be, like, I don't know, let's say they're supposed to be 6 years old, but they talk like a teenager. Or they're a teenager and they're supposed to be a teenager and they talk like they're really little. I think sometimes it's just really hard for people to write kids. And then the whole thing about like high schoolers that are played by like 30-year-old people.
Everyone talks about how Spider-Man Homecoming does that, right?
Yeah.
I think Stranger Things.
Spider-Man Homecoming is good at that. Stranger Things is good at that.
Stranger Things
But those are like the exceptions. There's a lot of movies that are just, and maybe you don't notice it so much because lots of movies and TVs get this wrong. But, you know, it's like they're clearly not being played by someone their age. That's even true of like where they're supposed to be college students. Like they're supposed to be college students, but they're all like 32 to 35.
When they're really young kids, then obviously they have to be played by like someone slightly older, just so that they can understand more stuff.
Sometimes they're just really talented kid actors.
From what I've heard, Charles Wallace from the Wrinkle in Time movie isn't very good.
I haven't seen that movie.
Neither have I.
I've heard mixed things about it. I've heard that visually it's really good. But I think people who really, I think it's like people who really like the book and the plot say it doesn't include enough of the story.
Yeah, that's what I've heard.
Yeah.
Man, I feel like all movies are like either based off of books or remakes or sequels or in the same universe as something or prequels or whatever nowadays.
Yeah. And that's not necessarily a bad thing if it's done well.
Yeah. But
sometimes it's fun to see a movie that's not based on anything but the movie.
Usually animated movies do that.
Sometimes you can make a really good movie out of something that's already something else.
Yeah.
But, you know, other times you don't. It's just the way things are. A bird update. So a couple podcasts ago, we told you that there's a bird that's moved in on our back porch and it built a nest up in the corner of our back porch. Something's happened to the bird. Not sure what, but 2 days ago it disappeared.
She gone.
Yeah, the bird, it flew away.
Kind of makes me worried, especially considering there's eggs up there.
Yeah, because she was there all the time, so I think there must have been eggs. I don't know if it just got too hot or something happened to the eggs.
Well, it's under the porch, so.
Yeah, but it's really hot out there during the day. Really hot.
Maybe someone just, like, blared music through the speaker that it was on.
Nope, we haven't played any music through the speakers. I don't know. Don't know what happened to the bird. Kind of miss it. Kind of feel bad that the bird disappeared. Was kind of hoping there would be baby birds. But the bird is no longer there. The nest is still there. Don't know if there's anything in the nest. Haven't tried. Something else that happened. We went to see Incredibles 2.
It was really good.
You liked it?
Yeah, it was so good.
Yeah. I think my favorite part of the movie, by far, was Jack-Jack.
Yeah, I like Jack-Jack, and I also really like Frozone.
Jack-Jack, the baby in the Incredibles family, was really good in this movie. Just, I don't know, like everything about... There's one scene with Jack-Jack and a raccoon. I'm not going to spoil anything, but I thought that was the best scene in the whole movie. And I thought Jack-Jack, every time Jack-Jack was involved in the scene, it was just that much better because Jack-Jack was there.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure, like, on the poster, it shows him, like, using his light vision to zap a raccoon.
Had you seen the original one recently?
No, not recently. I saw it when I was really little. And I know, like, members of our family talk about how good it is.
Yeah, Henry actually got to see it on the airplane when we went to Seattle and Portland. And so that was kind of nice. So he had just seen the original movie. And he noticed... I hadn't seen the original in a long time either, and he noticed that there were a lot of similarities. It wasn't exactly the same movie, but there's a lot of similar themes and similar characters and situations. And it was good. I liked it a lot. I thought it was a little slow at first.
Yeah.
Like the first half of the movie kind of builds slowly. But I enjoyed it. By the end, I was like, this is a good movie.
I agree. It was kind of slow, but... The only issue I had with it was, like, a lot of the movie focused on just the mom.
Yeah, I think the Mrs. Incredible or Elastigirl definitely has a much bigger role in this movie.
And I just kind of
But I was okay with that. I thought it was kind of interesting, actually.
Yeah, but, like, at the same time, I just kind of wanted to see more of the other superheroes.
Well, they did show them a lot, though. I mean, she had a lot of scenes on her own, but then they'd show the other characters in a lot of situations. So.
But that was mostly just, like, at home.
So it's not like the other characters weren't in the movie ever.
I liked the... They were all really good characters. I liked Dash and the teenager. I forgot her name.
Violet.
Yeah. There's this one line where Dash says, is she having adolescence?
Yeah. Yeah, I thought that was fun. I thought it seemed like... I'm just looking it up here. It seemed like to me that Violet might have been played by a different character. Nope, still the same character. Still the same actress, Sarah Vowell, who wasn't much of an actress before The Incredibles. She mainly did work for, like, she was a contributor to This American Life, and she writes books and does interesting, like, radio stories. For some reason, she sounded a little bit different. Maybe it's just because it's been so long. It's been, like, 15 years since they did the first movie.
Yeah, They introduced, like, a new team of superheroes. I thought was, like, their powers are kind of cool, but, like, as people, they're gonna,
I thought it was good. It was kind of funny. I mean, they weren't major characters, so.
If you look closely on the poster, then you can actually see them. I talked to my friends, like, before they saw it, or before I saw it, and they kind of agreed.
It's kind of a long movie. It's over 2 hours, which is really long for a cartoon. Usually cartoons are over, like...
An hour and a half.
An hour and a half or less. So it's kind of a long movie. But yeah. It was good. I think it's done really well. I think people were excited to go see another Incredibles movie. I'm kind of surprised it took them this long to do an Incredibles 2.
Yeah.
Especially since they've done 3 Cars movie, and Cars came out after Incredibles.
Yeah, they just kind of pumped out the Cars movies.
Yeah.
Yeah, it seems like all superhero movies lately have been like at least 2 hours or more. Apparently Avengers 4 is probably going to be even longer than Infinity War.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. That's saying something, because Infinity War was pretty long.
Yeah. They released...
What do you know about Avengers 4?
Well, not much. They haven't even revealed the title yet. Apparently it will be revealed at the end of Ant-Man and the Wasp.
Oh, really?
I thought it would just be revealed in this like gigantic reveal trailer. But they released concept art for it, and it looks like it has really good concept art. It has like... all of them in blue suits, including Hulk. And it's like the main 6 Avengers and also Ant-Man, Captain Marvel, Nebula, and Rocket, who I didn't know were alive.
So, yeah, Avengers 4, I think a lot of people are looking for it. Does that come out like next June or May or something?
Yeah, it comes out like the same day as Infinity War, just a year
which
later,
came out,
obviously.
Like in May, is that right?
Yeah.
When does Ant-Man and the Wasp come out?
July.
Like, right around July 4th, right? Right before the 4th holiday?
I think so. So it's coming up, like, 20 days about.
Yeah.
there was, in the Phase 3 announcement, there was going to be an Inhumans movie announced to come out after Avengers 4.
Isn't there an Inhumans TV show?
Yes, but it got canceled because it was, like, really not horrible, very good. Apparently.
Yeah.
So, and there's been, like,
weird
no...
that they would go forward with the movie when the TV show didn't do very well.
And there's, well, they announced it before the TV show started. There's been, like, no mention of the Inhumans movie, just about, like, there's mostly just been a mention of, like, the next Doctor Strange movie, and the next Spider-Man movie, and the next Avengers 4 movie, and Captain Marvel, and all that. I'm kind of wondering if the Inhumans movie will even happen.
Yeah, the Inhumans were kind of a part of the storyline in the TV show Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Mom and I used to watch Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., and the Inhumans were part, I think it was season 2 where they became a big part of the plotline. So, and we started to watch, I liked Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. I have a little bit of a problem, though, like watching a show that has that many episodes in it. Because once you get behind, you're like, do I want to get caught up? I'm like 20 episodes behind. It's like, I like shows where they have really short seasons, because then you can get caught up really well. And it seems like sometimes when you have really long seasons, like most American shows have like 22 to 26 seasons or episodes a season. 22 to 26 episodes a season. Then it seems like there's always a part of the season where you can tell like they're just trying to stretch it out. Like they're trying to come up with storylines that they don't really care about just because they have to write something.
Yeah. Like at the,
and I felt like there were moments like that in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. It was a good show, but it was hard to keep it going over the whole season.
I always hate it whenever they introduce a character for like 2 episodes at the end of a season and then like they're just gone. That happened on The Flash and I'm just like, in season 3.
Yeah.
I'm just like, what's the point of that?
All right. We're going to do some news. We're going to play a little bit of Would You Rather. This podcast is going to be a little bit different because William and I are not going to do a treat yourself because the family already recorded a treat yourself. We'll have, for the very first time ever in Talk to Dad history, we had every single member of the family together on the podcast at once to do a treat yourself.
That was a good treat yourself.
It was a lot of fun. There was a lot of laughing. You'll hear about it later because we will include it at the end of this podcast. But let's go ahead and do some news.
Now, your tomorrow morning's headlines tonight.
William, do you want to go ahead and tell us about your news story?
Okay, this news story is all about science!
We're going to talk a lot about science today in the news.
Scientists say they can recreate dinosaurs within the next 5 years. We know how this ends. Which is like, that lands about around the same time they'll be able to go to Mars.
Have you seen the movie Jurassic Park?
No, I haven't.
But you know about it, right?
Yeah, I started watching it at a friend's birthday party. But
do you know how they create the dinosaurs in Jurassic Park? So Jurassic Park, that movie came out, when did it come out? Like the 80s, I think, late 80s. And it was a book before it was a movie. Or did it come out in the 90s? Alexa, when did the movie Jurassic Park come out?
I think the 80s.
So it was the 90s. Do you know how they created the dinosaurs in the movie?
Yeah, they took mosquitoes frozen in amber, and they like took the DNA that it sucked from dinosaurs.
Yeah, so it was a book before it was a movie. It was a book by Michael Crichton, and the theory was if you could find a source of DNA that had the dinosaurs' DNA, then you could clone the dinosaurs. And they used mosquitoes that were trapped in amber that had sucked dinosaur blood, and they used that to create a DNA database and clone these dinosaurs.
Yeah, and they created a fun dinosaur park for kids until it started attacking people, and they're like, whoops.
Right, and every single one of the movies follows the same plot, basically. The dinosaurs go crazy and start destroying things and killing people.
That's what I've heard.
And that's fun, because, you know, dinosaurs and stuff. But tell us about what this scientist says.
So it says, acclaimed paleontologist Jack Horner, who inspired the character Dr. Alan Grant of the Jurassic Park franchise. He inspired a character from Jurassic Park.
Yeah, like the character was based on him, an actual person.
That's a pretty good achievement.
Yeah.
Recently told People magazine he believes we are about 5 years away from bringing back dinosaurs. He says, Horner, who consulted on all the films, previously said that scientists would need ancient DNA in order to recreate dinosaurs, like, say, DNA caught in a mosquito encased in amber. So he says that he believed researchers could use the modern-day chicken to bring back dinosaurs, and that this technology is 5 to 10 years away. Of course, birds are dinosaurs. Birds are not dinosaurs, but...
They kind of are, though. Birds are actually closer to dinosaurs than a lot of reptiles.
Closest thing to dinosaurs are, like, maybe armadillos and Komodo dragons.
Well, birds, though, chickens are actually closely related to dinosaurs, according to experts in the field.
Yeah, I've heard about that. Like a paleontologist. Can't remember which one came first, but the chicken or the dinosaur. So we just need to fix them so they look a little more like a dinosaur. According to Entrepreneur, the research team has already worked on mutating chickens so they can be more like dinosaurs. I don't know why I find this so funny. Specifically, Horner and his research team have made genetic changes to chickens to change their beaks into a snout, which is more common among dinos.
That's so weird. Can you imagine what a chicken would look like with a snout?
Yeah, so what they do is they'll take the embryo that's beginning to form, and they'll figure out what genes turn on and off to create a chicken, and they basically just, like, mess with that and figure out how tails develop, and they try to fix it so the tail doesn't stop growing, so that can grow into, like, a dinosaur tail. It says, actually, the wings and hands are not as difficult, Horner said. The tail is the biggest project, but on the other hand, we have been able to do some things recently that have given us hope that it won't take too long.
That sounds kind of crazy. It sounds like mad scientist type stuff, doesn't it?
Yeah. So it says, of course, we've seen this theory play out in the Jurassic Park films, the most of recent which, Jurassic World Fallen Kingdom, arrives in theaters Friday with a 54% critics rating.
Oh, really? Rotten Tomatoes. It's not getting very good reviews.
Yeah, I mean, that's not too bad.
I kind of liked the first Jurassic World. It was kind of fun.
Yeah, I wanted to watch that, but I mean, that's not like a horrible rating, but that's not very good.
It's not great. I think that's considered rotten.
It's like in its 50s, yeah.
Anything under 60 is considered rotten.
Yeah. In previous Jurassic Park films, surprise, surprise, the dinosaurs wreak havoc in their human counterparts' lives, often eating humans and destroying parks in the process.
Yeah.
Why do they keep on making these parks if they're going to just eat humans?
I think it's greed. It's usually greed.
Greed for human blood?
Greed for human money.
Yeah, but like, the dinosaurs eat the humans that have money.
Yep. But they always think they control it. So that's kind of the theme of the Jurassic Park movies is they always think they can control nature, but nature always wins out.
The dinosaurs just find all their debit cards and just swallow those.
Nature finds a way is like, I think that's even a quote from either the book or the movie.
What if in the next movie the dinosaurs just commit credit card fraud?
And maybe start data mining Bitcoin?
Yeah.
Yeah. Become some like internet fraudsters. Yeah, probably. Yeah. Probably that's what's going to happen.
You become communist dictators.
Yep.
I don't know. These are just random thoughts.
There's lots of different ways they could go with it, that's for sure.
Yeah.
Anything else?
That's about it.
All right. Well, I've got a good story here. It's a sad story. It's not really a funny story. Coco the gorilla has died.
I love Coco.
Which is sad, but there's a lot of really fun facts about her life. I'm reading from a story from Gizmodo that came out today, June 21st. The Gorilla Foundation announced via Twitter that Coco has died at the age of 46, which is actually kind of old for what kind of gorilla is she? She's a
silverback,
lowland gorilla, I believe.
I don't think that's a type. I think it's just...
And gorillas generally don't make it to 50. So she was 46, which is pretty old for a gorilla. Of course, do you know what Coco is most famous for?
Sign language.
Yeah. Coco was the world's most famous gorilla. She is known for her ability to communicate through sign language. The article says, Coco forever changed our conceptions of primate intelligence and emotional capacities. The Gorilla Foundation said, her impact has been profound. That sounds weird. Her impact has been profound, and what she has taught us about the emotional capacity of gorillas and their cognitive abilities will continue to shape the world. She lived in Woodside, California. She was a female lowland gorilla. She was born on the 4th of July, 1971. So she was born just before I was. and she was born on the 4th of July, which is when Elizabeth was born. And originally her name was Hanabiko, which is Japanese for a fireworks child. Maybe we should have named Elizabeth Hanabiko. Because Elizabeth was born as the fireworks were going off. But we didn't.
Yeah.
There's some really fun stories about Coco in this article. It says that she learned well over 1,000 signs in sign language, 600 of which she used on a regular basis. She was originally based in the San Francisco Zoo, and Penny Patterson was a psychologist who did her thesis project on Coco, and she's the one who taught her sign language. She knew American Sign Language. By the time she was 7 years old, she had already become a household name. She was twice on the cover of National Geographic in 1978 and then again in 1985. In the 1985 cover, she is snuggling her pet kitten. Here's a picture of it.
Aw. Yeah, I remember in first grade being read the book about Coco's kittens.
Yeah. It says that she really liked the picture books called... There was one called The Three Little Kittens and one called Puss in Boots. And after reading those books, she asked for a cat. She asked for a pet cat.
That's kind of sweet.
They tried to give her a stuffed cat.
Oh, yeah, but she, like...
And she signed that it made her sad.
Yeah, she, like, kind of threw a fit and wanted real cats.
She didn't want a pet... She didn't want a stuffed cat. She wanted a real cat. And the stuffed cat made her sad, which I think is really funny. She named her cat All Ball, and she would play with the kitten for hours. But when All Ball was fed up of being babied, she'd wiggle away from Coco, and the gorilla would sign Obnoxious Cat. Which is kind of funny, because that's kind of the way we feel about Maisie. Like, when we're playing with her, and then when she does something weird and runs off.
So Coco is basically just a cat.
Obnoxious dog.
So Coco is basically just a toddler.
Yeah.
It's like a spoiled toddler.
Sadly, All Ball was struck and killed by a car just 6 months later, and Coco appeared to express sadness over losing the pet, signing Cat, Cry, Have Sorry, and Coco Love.
Yeah, I remember that part in the picture book.
Yeah. Another fun fact, Coco in 2012 learned to play the recorder.
Oh my gosh.
Which a lot of people didn't think could ever happen, because they didn't think that primates had the capacity to control their breathing. I don't know if she was very good at playing the recorder, but she learned to play the recorder.
Watching that must be cool. Hilarious.
Yeah.
But I remember in sixth grade while we were at the zoo, we were watching the gorillas like carry around their little leaves and sticks. And a kid said that like someday we're going to see a gorilla with a fidget spinner.
There were some scientists who said that Coco couldn't really understand language. That she was just copying the humans that she knew. But this over time, this became kind of the minority position, and most scientists believe that she actually did understand language and could do things with language and with sign language.
Yeah, she's able to respond to things and like react to things with
right
languages.
And express emotions, which is really interesting. The non-human primates can't. There are certain things they can't do, like they can't really understand grammar or syntax. So usually they just will string random words together to express themselves. But they can still understand kind of basic language. So they don't understand language on the level that we do, but they can still use sign language to express themselves, which is really interesting. Researchers have taught other great apes to sign, including chimps, bonobos, and orangutans. And Coco is going to be greatly missed.
Yeah.
Kind of sad.
Coco seemed like such a sweet
but
gorilla.
She was very good for science.
Yeah, Coco had a YouTube channel called Coco Flex.
Oh, really?
It's really
know
fun
that.
To watch. She yeah, I discovered channel. It and I was like, "Wait, Coco's still around?" I mean, not anymore, but
yeah,
yeah. Coco had like a long and kind of awesome life, though.
Yeah,
It's so cool how, like, you can communicate with animals like that.
I wonder if Coco was, like, and I don't even know how you would know this, but I wonder if Coco was, like, smarter than most gorillas, like, exceptionally smart, or if she just happened to be the gorilla that they put a lot of research into.
Yeah.
Again, I have no idea how you would know this. I guess if you gave them all standardized tests.
Gorillas.
Then you would find out what percentile she is.
I don't know why I'm thinking this, but gorillas would probably love fidget spinners.
They might. I wonder if they've ever given a gorilla a fidget spinner.
Yeah, I'm just wondering, like, how are they able to keep Coba, Coco, I was called Coma, or her. How do they, were they able to keep Coco tamed?
Well, I think she started working with researchers at a very young age. There's a picture of her in this article from when she was an infant. She's kind of like on the back of the researcher who taught her. So I think because she had been working with humans at a very young age, she was just used to being around humans. And it seems like, to the extent that gorillas have personalities, she seemed to have a really great personality.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. It's so cool watching animals that are a lot like humans.
Yeah. So that is our news. Let's do some Would You Rather. We haven't done that segment in a little while. Let me pull up the Would You Rather app, and I will see if we can find something. All right, the first one. And we haven't done this in a while. I don't remember if we've done these before.
We'll just,
the particular questions.
Oh, okay.
If we have, we'll just do it again. If I can't remember, if I do remember, I'll try to skip it. All right. Would you rather be hairy all over or be completely bald?
Wow. Isn't that kind of easy though? Completely bald.
I guess. Yeah, probably. Most people agree. 59% said be completely bald.
There's
if you were hairy all over, you would be a werewolf, basically.
It made me think of the Watch Mojo video of top 10 bald dudes.
Or Cousin It. Do you know who Cousin It is?
I know that's from the Addams Family.
Yes, but it's from the Addams Family. It's basically just covered in hair. It's like a little hairball.
Yeah, I remember seeing the movie from the 90s, I think.
I don't know if I have an opinion about this one, but I think you might. Would you rather have John Cena as your substitute teacher for a week or have Dwayne Johnson as your substitute teacher for a week?
Dwayne Johnson.
I think so, too. 73% of people agree. Either one would be a good story to tell, I think.
Yeah. Dwayne Johnson seems like, I don't know, he seems like a cool guy, which is another bald person.
Would you rather go to Hogwarts or go to Narnia?
They're both pretty dangerous. But Hogwarts.
They are both dangerous. I think I agree. Hogwarts. Yes. 68% also agree. Would you rather find true love or win $10 million?
Okay, we know it's supposed to be the right answer here. I don't know. I feel like if I had too much money, then there'd be a point where, like, I'd just be like, okay, well, I can get everything now. Like, kind of used to this now.
I feel like you're supposed to say true love.
Oh, yeah.
On the other hand, if you had $10 million and financial security, maybe you could also find true love.
pay for true love.
Do you have to not get true love if you get the $10 million?
Or maybe this...
It is sort of an either or.
Maybe true love is rich.
What do you think? True love or $10 million?
I guess true love. I mean, I'm not sure if I'd... Obviously, this is going to sound crazy, but I'm not sure if I'd want $10 million.
Which do you think most people voted for?
$10 million?
58% said $10 million. 42% said true love.
Yeah, maybe that's because they knew that they're supposed to pick that one.
All right, let's do just a couple more here.
I feel like I'd be willing to have like enough money to like... buy a bunch of stuff at a store, but like...
Oh, here's an interesting one. I've never heard this one before. This is actually better than most of these. Would you rather be able to name a new periodic table element or win a gold medal at the Olympics?
Name a periodic element. Because if I got a gold medal at the Olympics, then that would just be unrealistic.
That's much more rare. like, there's only so many periodic table elements, and you could, like, name it after yourself.
Yeah, and we're kind of, like, the least athletic family ever.
But it would be... okay, either one is cool. It would be cool to win a gold medal, but many, many more people have named gold medal, have won gold medals that have named periodic table elements.
What if I could just name it, like, subscribe to my channel, the channel, here, Onium.
It's called Talk to Dad Podcast. Subscribe, rate, or review, Eum.
Because honestly, kids my age will...
What do you think, William? Did more people vote for win a gold medal at the Olympics or be able to name a periodic table element?
Olympics.
Yeah, 71%.
Sometimes the people who do this aren't very smart, honestly.
All right, here's one. Would you rather fight a collection of Smurfs or fight a collection of Care Bears?
I don't like either one, but Smurfs, because I'd be more willing to kill them, I guess. Like, with Care Bears, then, like, you're obviously not supposed to.
Care Bears are bigger than Smurfs, right? Care Bears, in theory, are bears, so they would have claws and teeth.
I'm going to say Smurfs.
I think Smurfs would be easier to fight if you just had to fight them to the death.
Mm.
What do you think most people voted for?
Smurfs.
Most people voted for Care Bears.
Dang it, I knew 60%
it. Voted for Care Bears. Only 40% voted for Smurfs. So that is Would You Rather. Let's go ahead and play our previously recorded Treat Yourself. Okay, this is a special Father's Day edition of Treat Yourself. Even though this is being pre-recorded, there's only one last thing to do on the podcast, and that is...
Three words for you. Treat yourself.
Treat yourself. Treat yourself.
So, this podcast first broadcast 2 years ago on Father's Day. We're all together on Father's Day. We've got the whole family here, including myself, Allison, a.k.a. Mom, Elizabeth, Phoebe, William, and Henry here at the table. And for today's Treat Yourself, we're going to try something interesting. We have a very favorite ice cream place here in Texas called Old Town Creamery. And Old Town Creamery specializes in natural and ethnic ice cream flavors. They have a whole bunch of flavors. They change them out all the time. There are flavors from kind of all around the world, from Asia, from other places. And there are two flavors in particular. One is it taro or taro?
It's taro.
Taro?
I'm a big fan.
I say taro.
It's me and my Asian friends
call
it taro.
I believe it is a root vegetable.
I thought it was taro. I thought taro was the fortune-telling cards. Is it pronounced the same?
Maybe it is. I don't know.
Do they say
taro cards?
Taro in Japan?
I've never heard of them.
I don't know. I suppose they have it in Japan, but I don't know if they really eat it in Japan.
Okay. I'm pretty sure it is taro, but if you guys were wondering what it is, because you started talking about it, it's like a root vegetable. It's kind of like almost like a sweet potato.
I know they eat it in Hawaii a lot. I think that's what they make. Is that what they make poi out of? I think it might be what they make poi.
No,
I thought poi was cassava.
Poi is different.
Hey Alexa, what is taro?
Taro is usually defined as any of a set of, usually 78. Cards that include 22 cards.
Yeah, it's the card. It's the card.
No, but I think it might also be.
Alexa, what is taro?
Taro is usually defined as edible starch
I feel like you can also call it taro, though, because I have friends who are from places where they eat taro.
It's an edible starchy.
With large glossy
tuber.
Leaves.
That's confusing.
Okay.
Anyway, it's a root. It's a root vegetable that they make into sweets sometimes. This is so. Mom and I were at the Old Town Creamery the other day. Not the first time we've been there. We tend to go there on date nights, even if we're not too close, because we love it. We went there this time. It was very crowded, and we were looking at the ice cream flavors. And a man came up to us and started talking to us. Turned out the man was Hussein, the guy who actually owns the store. So we were talking to him about his ice cream shop. And he said that taro is a new flavor there. And he didn't think it would be very popular, but right now it's one of their most popular flavors. The other thing he told us was that taro Everyone has a different idea about what it tastes like. I think Phoebe's the only one here who's actually tasted it before.
Yeah, so I've had the ice cream, but before I've had the ice cream, because I get boba a lot, which I think I've talked about, but I always get taro smoothies there. And what I think it tastes like, and what a lot of my friends say it tastes like, is cookies and cream.
Which is interesting, because I used to work at a Vietnamese place that did taro boba smoothies, and everybody there said it tasted kind of like the milk left over when you eat Fruity Pebbles. So either the...
I can kind of see that, yeah.
It varied brand to brand. Like, we'd switch brands.
It tastes a little bit like cereal milk.
I mean, when we would switch brands, they'd be like, oh, it tastes completely different now. So I think it's just like a...
And it's weird that any of those things would taste like a root.
Yeah, I think I'm like the only one here who's never heard of this.
All right, so we have it in front of us. We're all going to try it, all six of us, and we're all going to rate it on the usual treat-yourself scale. I am going to mute the mic so you don't hear lots of mouth noises into the mics, but here we go. Okay, I predict we're going to be able to reach a consensus on this.
Mm-hmm. That's really good.
Henry, you have something to say?
Well, first of all, I think it's delicious. And second of all, I think it's the taste in between cereal milk and cookies and cream. It just tastes like both.
Yeah, I guess
I can see it either way, yeah.
I guess I can see the Fruity Pebbles, but I definitely think cookies and cream is the closest thing to it.
I think it's pretty clear that it is.
Yum, 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 yum. Delicioso.
Good. This particular flavor of ice cream tastes less like leftover Fruity Pebbles, more like leftover Frankenberry, if anybody thought that.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
By the way, am I the only one that thinks that out of those cereals, Frankenberry is the best? Just throwing that out there. Anyways, I think it tastes like...
There's three of them.
Yeah, I think Frankenberry is the best. A lot of people say can't talk to it. But anyways, I think it kind of tastes like cookies and cream, but like it kind of has a like tang that's kind of like the Japanese flavor yam.
It's really, really good. I think we can all agree on that. Now,
so good.
The second flavor that we're going to try, I'm very excited about. A few podcasts ago, we talked about durian, the infamous fruit durian, which is very controversial. It's very polarizing. If it goes wrong, it can cause whole buildings to evacuate. We talked about that.
What? Because it smells like
because
a gas
leak. It smells
leak.
Like rotting flesh.
Or like a gas leak.
Or like a gas leak.
Yes. How do people know rotting
it's
flesh
It's got a very complicated
like?
Flavor. Apparently, if you get fresh durian, it's really tasty, but it can taste like a lot of different odd things together. When we were at Old Town Creamery, the thing that prompted this all together was we saw durian ice cream. I've never had durian before. I'm tempted to get just a durian at the store and try it. But I think there's a lot of ways that could go wrong because I think it has to be just the right amount of ripe for it to taste good. But anyway, let's try durian ice cream and see what we think about it.
I'm also very scared.
So far, the worst things that we've had on this podcast are Marmite and Bean Boozled jelly beans. Maybe this will...
I mean, you ate candied grasshoppers, too.
Those aren't bad, though. Those are just bland.
What about the soda that tasted like weird stuff, like the bacon soda? I heard that was really bad.
We don't mention it.
I'm not going to talk about this.
The Marmite and Bean Boozled with jelly beans are the worst so far. Let's see if
I didn't,
break the record.
The one thing that makes me less scared of this, of trying durian-flavored ice cream, is that, honestly, Old Town Creamery, like, I've tried all the flavors there. Like, every time we go there, I try, like, every one that they have new. Mostly because I keep thinking maybe someday I will get some flavor that is not the Kulfi flavor, Kulfi. It's
a good flavor.
It's an Indian flavor, and it's just named after like an Indian frozen dessert.
I love Indian Kulfi.
It's just so delicious.
I need to go
there.
You need to go there.
I didn't even hear about this until
right. So every
like
time
right
we
now.
Step into that store, I think, okay, I'm going to try to get something that's not the Kulfi flavor. And I try all these other flavors and they're good, but then I always think, yeah, but I like Kulfi better. And I end up getting Kulfi ice cream.
I always like bubblegum ice cream.
Everybody keep your spoons. I'm going to get new dishes.
The Kulfi is in that... I'm sure like Indian listeners will know what I'm talking about that like dessert that's kind of like a donut hole, but it's in this
No.
Like...
That's
not gulab.
Oh, never mind.
Kulfi is frozen. It's like an ice cream type stuff.
I'm probably not saying it right. But anyway, they had ice cream there that was that flavor too. It was the donut flavor, the donuts and syrup flavor.
I love those, by the way. Some people don't like them. Some people say they're too sugary.
I don't love those. Dad likes them.
I like them.
Yeah,
but I like the like long grain rice pudding even better.
Oh,
it has like
yeah.
the cardamom and oh, it's great.
I just really like Indian food. Sometimes my white taste buds can't handle the spiciness, but
I can't think about anything because all I can feel is dread.
Dread. It's. I don't. One thing is, we were buying this, we were talking to Mr. Hussein, the owner, and he did not warn us off of this.
Does
it smell like rotting flesh, or a gas leak?
Oh, I don't.
It will be okay. It will be okay. I've never. Okay, a lot of things smell bad but taste good. Think about cheese.
Fair.
Smells like a lovely corpse.
That's not okay. That is not okay, young lady.
Corpse smells like trash. Smells like a trash can.
Hey, don't smell it. Don't smell it.
Oh, yeah. I mean,
joke's on y'all. I can't smell anything. Okay, I have allergies.
Oh, gosh.
I'm going to mute
this. I'm scared to death.
I'm going to mute the mics, and we're all going to try durian ice cream.
Be strong. Be strong.
This one's about up close. This one's tropical close.
We're actually going to try this on mic because...
It's not like this gross noise anyway. Me and Phoebe are going to drive it at the same time. 1, 2, 3. Nope. Oh, it's not terrible.
Oh.
It's a little like a metallic, garlicky gas leak.
Oh, yeah, like weird pineapple.
No.
Oh, I don't like this.
It has like tropical tang.
It's like guava. It's like garlicky.
Does it taste guava?
Guavy and almost cheesy.
Garlicky
kind of
tropical fruit.
It tastes guava, but like gone wrong.
It's like that.
Wow.
Gone
it's
wrong.
Really interesting.
It's like that tropical tang.
I feel a little
tang.
Can you bring that?
It's like that tropical tang.
I hope you don't mind.
Mom's
it's
passing
sweet
her the Dr.
And
Pepper.
It's garlicky at the same Elizabeth. Time.
It's like that tropical tang, but it's like really strong.
Are the mics back on?
Yeah. Mom, can you pass the Dr. Pepper?
No. Yes, please.
Oh, my gosh.
Around. That's awful.
Could Dr. Pepper please sponsor us so that we'll always have some on hand for situations like this?
I feel like I want to enjoy
I'm
going to
keep eating it just so I can experience this.
I took a first bite, almost gagged, almost spit it out, kept it in. I took another bite, and it was reconfirmed. No, this is terrible.
It's like what it is to be alive.
No.
Dad, do you need to go to therapy? Do you need to talk
suffering.
To someone?
I feel like
it's not terrible.
I'm overcoming my own fate.
Yeah.
You're just eating crappy ice cream, Dad.
No. It's good quality ice cream. The flavor
it is very
itself
good quality
it's
ice
crappy.
Cream.
The flavor
durian.
Itself to me tastes like guava except garlicky, metallic and a little bit like parmesan.
This is ice cream you give to someone you hate.
Yeah. Okay, let me paint you a picture.
I'm still eating it, guys.
Let me
I'm
paint.
I just taste guava gone bad.
Let me paint our podcast. Let me paint our podcast listeners a picture. If you would have eaten like an entire clove of garlic, and thrown it up in my apartment bathroom while my upstairs neighbors were smoking some of that dank herb, it would feel exactly like this as it burned in your nose. It would. This is exactly what it would feel
it's
like.
Honestly,
yes.
Like
guava and weed.
Had...
Yes, oh.
You're not wrong.
Like garlic and weed. It's just a gut flavor.
It's a little bit like if you had like roast garlic and passion fruit smoothie.
Yeah,
that's some feet in there.
Yeah,
it's
there's like a some skunky, feet. There's a skunky undertone.
Wow, it is powerful stuff.
Oh,
I'm
stop
still eating,
eating it. What are you doing?
Okay,
Dad, no!
I think
Henry set his hand up.
I'm just seeing if I eat it long enough, if I'll start to like it.
Oh, it came back. It came back.
It's like eating Valentine's Day chocolates. You never like it.
Okay. It's not bad for me, but it's also not good, and I'm not sure if I like it.
So it's like
I sort of like
find out.
I like the part that's like super tropical, like really good, but I don't like the garlic part, which is it's kind of weird. Okay. I don't hate it, but I don't like it.
So it keeps coming back.
I think we can all agree that it is.
No.
It's like
I think it's like anyone can even.
Okay,
know that.
The thing is, this is. Can I paint you a picture here of what's happening?
Can we all
I have never seen a treat yourself go this just off the rails.
Can I add, we did eat crickets once.
And it was not this
crickets
crazy.
Were fine.
Marmite this is nuts.
Fine. The crickets so, tasted like sunflower
We have here Dad who just keeps on shoveling it in. And you can tell he's not enjoying it. He just loves pain.
So it's like if you...
Breaking
I just
point.
Feel like I have to
and
experience
everyone,
the durian.
That, you
everyone
keep saying
else,
that.
Everyone else is just watching horror struck and also like desperately swigging Dr. Pepper to try to get the taste out of their mouth. And keep it out. And Henry, meanwhile, is just contemplating like, I don't know.
So it's like if you took...
I'm still not convinced that it's bad. I mean,
oh, it's bad.
The caption of this podcast has to be... Our grossest treat yourself yet?
It's like
not
if you took
bait.
Wait.
It's
to be
like
fair,
if you
in part one, everyone thought it was very delicious.
Yeah, it's
so
okay,
true though.
Clearly
it's like
Okay, yeah, go ahead.
It's like if you took a tropical fruit and you like made it really, you like put tropical juice in it that made it really, really, gave it like a huge tropical tang, and then you rotted it. And then you rotted it.
There's still a half a quart over there. We haven't eaten it all.
With feet.
Give it to someone we hate.
You add garlic feet to the tropical smoothie.
Let's discuss who we hate enough to give this to.
Okay.
Guys.
There are people out there, mainly Southeast Asians, who believe this is delicious.
Did you get this from
Which is crazy because Southeast Asians have legitimately delicious things to eat.
Yeah,
and yet,
they're wasting
their time on this.
We're acting like it's not gonna get eaten, but we all know we're all gonna like wake up because we hear a noise at 3 a.m. and just see Dad
like an animal, like on his hands
or Henry.
Like Gollum. He's gonna be in his underwear on his hands and knees, just shoveling it in like Gollum.
That is a visual nobody wants.
Nobody wants to think about that. I'm trying to put the work in to acquire it.
I think it's Satan went up to me and was like, hey, eat this or else I'll take your soul. I'll just be like, sure, you can take my soul. Just give it a spin.
Here's the thing, we need to wrap this up.
No. Here's the thing. Henry is still working on it. He's still kind of looking at it and considering it.
It's getting better and better. It is definitely an acquired
Henry,
there's still lots to unpack here.
Henry is a brave, brave soul.
He's a brave soul.
Here is the deal. If you guys want to try this at home, can I recommend, like, Dr. Pepper has a nice strong taste and it takes it out of your mouth immediately, which is awesome.
No,
it
hasn't
for me. Problem.
It keeps coming back for me.
I burp it up.
It's got quite a tang.
Do not try this at home.
If you try to cover up the taste with something carbonated, you will regret it because one taste of that stuff, of the durian ice cream, and it just will not...
Oh, it's coming back.
It will not stay dead.
I'm not burping. It just lingers in the back of my mouth.
It's actually pretty good.
Mine is gone. I feel like I need to take someone else's.
It's pretty good if you just...
Are you going to eat it all now?
So it's pretty good if you just ignore all of it.
I think that's a little ambitious. I don't know.
So bad.
But I ate a whole scoop of it.
I am not a fan.
Why?
Did he get this from Satan? He loves to suffer.
It's for the experience, you guys.
What do we rate it?
Disgusting.
Zero. Delish like no. anyone could even... I mean, no.
It tastes like a literal ice cream punishment from heck.
Right, okay.
A finely crafted ice cream punishment.
Okay, wait. Anyone could even know that.
That's got to be the name of this podcast is a finely crafted ice cream punishment,
so,
right?
I'm hearing some of you think that this is...
Ew. Seriously?
That is so gross.
Yes.
I don't know if I would go so far as to say it's gross.
But you couldn't
it's an experience.
I really can't say it's okay. I'm going to say it's meh.
But it's not
I feel
a meh
like flavor. There's okay. more there.
Meh.
I will
yeah,
go
meh
so far.
Meh implies that you don't have feelings about it.
I mean, to be fair to the old town creamery, the quality of ice cream is
yeah,
very high.
It's fantastic.
Okay. Okay.
The flavor is very powerful.
Dad, do you know what it is? It's the... Like, anyone could even know that.
Yes,
that's what I was
exactly.
thinking.
Okay, but
I feel like Donut.
I feel like I know that.
Wait, but I think I'll go as far as to say as it's okay.
I feel like I could develop, like,
all
potentially.
Right. Henry Wait. Says it is okay.
Really quickly.
Don't kill me.
I feel like I could potentially develop a Stockholm Syndrome-like affection for this food.
It does have a heck of an aftertaste, I will
it
say that.
It does. It's
oh,
so good.
I, like, licked the tip of my spoon. I didn't even really eat it.
Yeah, I had, like, the tiniest little nubbin of it, and it's so gross.
It's going to be a bad Jelly Belly flavor. Man, we've been talking about this for way too long.
All right, so that is durian ice cream.
Enter if you dare.
So that was a good two-year anniversary.
Taro. Taro, very delicious. Everyone agreed it was delicious.
Okay,
durian,
Mom,
we didn't quite reach a consensus, but I think it's safe to say none of us are going to be ordering this on our next trip to the Old Town Creamery.
That was a good quip, Mom. That was a good... I don't feel like anybody heard that, but it was good.
I think I missed it.
She said...
Enter if you dare.
And I said, you're in for a scare.
No, you said durian for a scare.
No, I
Yes,
didn't.
You did.
No, I didn't. You heard
No?
something
oh,
I didn't
well, that
say.
Would have been really clever
for a scare
of you.
Is
no.
pretty good, too.
Mm. It'll be a fun prank to just like give someone what you call vanilla ice cream, just fill it with durian ice cream.
It does like, look yeah, like vanilla. It looks innocent. It is not.
It's quite powerful. If you really want to try something really powerful, try some
this
durian
is like,
ice
if you want
cream.
To lose all your friends, then
he
just...
He dares you.
If you want to lose all your friends, just give this to them and tell them that's vanilla
you.
Ice cream.
That was almost there.
All right. So that is our treat yourself. Thank you, everyone. It's the first time we've had the entire family on the podcast at once at the same time.
Thank you.
Thanks, everybody.
Thank you.
So that was Treat Yourself.
I said it'd be crazy.
And that is our podcast. Thank you, William, for participating in our podcast. Thanks to the whole family for participating in Treat Yourself. Thanks to everyone who's listening. If you are listening, let us know. You can tweet us at TTD Podcast on Twitter. You can email us at talktodadpodcast@gmail.com. Oh, and I wanted to give a shout out to one of our listeners. A couple weeks ago, we talked about the fact that in high school, I was the general Sterling Scholar of my high school. One of our listeners, in fact, someone who's been on the podcast before, Elizabeth Roberts, emailed us and said, "Hey, I was listening to you talk about Sterling Scholar." And she is actually the Sterling Scholar for speech and debate for her high school class. So congratulations.
What does it mean to be a Sterling Scholar again?
Pretty cool. It's kind of like in every subject, one person gets nominated, then you can compete at the state level for scholarships and things like that. So congratulations, Elizabeth, for being the speech and debate Sterling Scholar from her high school. Very cool. So, yeah, if you email us, we might give you a shout-out, too. You can email us, as I said, at talktodadpodcast@gmail.com. You can find us at Talk to Dad Podcast on Facebook and Twitter. Or Facebook and Instagram, we are at TTD Podcast on Twitter. You can go to talktodadpodcast.com if you want to stream or download all of our podcasts. If there's something, if you want to help out the podcast, the best thing you can do is go on iTunes, or now I think it's called Apple Podcasts, and subscribe, rate, and review us. If a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts is probably the best thing that can happen for the podcast in terms of getting the word out there. This has been a lot of fun, and we will see you later. There's time for later. I regret.